So let your colors run tonight. We're painting in the dark. Let your colors run tonight. The colors of your heart.
Welcome everyone to the Catchy Lefty podcast. We are on the final week of Advent, Advent week 4, and the scripture for this week is Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5a. I'm Jennifer Chapman from Nexus Community, and I am here with my friends Jonathan and Patrick. Hey guys.
How's it going?
Hey.
All right. So what can you guys tell us about this passage from Micah 5?
It's very short.
It is very short. That's great. That's a great intro. man, for those of us who are going to preach this, and for probably a lot of our congregation or hearers of this text, you know, we want to immediately attribute it to Jesus. Like, this is one of those texts where we just read Jesus straight into it, right? Like being born out of Bethlehem. And then we automatically just want to sing Away in a Manger, no crib for his
bed. Totally.
Right? But like, I mean, this was written like at around 722 BC. And even though we could probably read Jesus into this, like that probably wasn't exactly what Micah the prophet was referring to. But I think like the larger issue that Micah is referring to is this idea that God, that Yahweh, is not only maintaining God's covenant with David, like part of what we talked about last week in Zephaniah, that God is keeping God's covenant with David, but that God is also one who keeps covenant. That God is the one who has promised a ruler. And the ruler that God has promised is not one who's going to come with flash and pomp and circumstance, but is actually going to come through humble origins, through this backwater town from this small clan along the lines of this, the least of these rulers, who is David. So like right away, even though we want to talk about how great Jesus is and how awesome King David was, really for the original hearers, they're dealing with the fact that the God that they confess to believe in is one who acts completely opposite of the empires around them, especially like during this time period of Assyria, who was all about violence and all about power. And this text specifically, like there's mentions of peace and this ruler bringing peace, but it's not peace through any war means, but actually peace just through his faithful feeding of the flock.
Yeah, and that's not very kingly.
No, not at all.
It sounds quite simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's such a, I mean, I don't know, like I just love even how it finishes, and they shall live secure. For now, he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. Like, that's, even though it's simple, it's comforting. You know, it's like chicken noodle soup. There's really not a lot of ingredients to it. You know, it's chicken noodles and carrots, if you're lucky. But it's so comforting in that fact. And like, that's kind of what this passage seems like to me, if I'm all right in saying that.
Yes, so let's all hold hands and light the candles and sing A Little Town of Bethlehem. Because we are ready for Christmas.
Yeah.
I have as my title for this one, Expect Peace. But I wonder if maybe it should be Expect the Unexpected. You know, this idea that it's the most unexpected place, and the most unexpected kind of leadership, the most unexpected kind of king, that we're really hoping for.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like I'm just thinking, I mean, I'm thinking through the context of this passage and how like how there was so much violence during this time period for these people. I mean, and what, like, could they really hear this prophet Micah? Like Micah is notorious. I mean, Micah and Isaiah are the two prophets that almost, that really speak a different voice than a lot of their other colleagues do, where they bring about this idea of peace and transformation, and the fulfillment of time is not about God wreaking violence upon the enemies, but instead is about, you know, beating our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks, because that comes from Micah chapter 4. And so, like there's this idea where this prophet, even like in probably one of the most violent times, I mean, I don't know, the history of Israel has had a lot of violent times, but like this is what, like the Assyrians were ruthless people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would kill and destroy just for the sake of killing and destroying. And then this prophet is talking about how we need to begin to expect that God is going to show up and that the Messiah will be here, and this Messiah is going to bring about justice, but the justice is not, isn't going to come through him killing all of our enemies, but instead making peace with all of our enemies. Yeah. And turning our means of war into means of agriculture. Like, I don't even know if people now could even hear these words for really what they are. So yeah, I agree with you that it's almost this expect the unexpected. Like, what is that even? Do we even have the ability to imagine what a world without war looks like, or a world without violence looks like?
Yeah.
As a people,
I don't think we have the capacity to have that imagination at this point.
Right. Like, I don't even know if I have the capacity to have that imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems, it seems impossible. Because really, like, when we talk about, I mean, for many of us, when we talk about the eschaton, which, you know, is a fancy way of saying the end times, or how I like to say the fulfillment of times, like, we tend to think, even if we don't say it, we tend to think that will come the time where we're justified, right? Like, where all of our trials, all of our suffering, all of our labors will be honored and glorified. And, you know, for some people that means that all of our enemies are going to be vanquished, and for others that just means that we're going to be lifted up. But like, when we read passages like this, it doesn't necessarily bring to mind that as much as it just brings to mind that there will be peace.
Mm-hmm.
That our justification is not going to be based upon our honoring or exhortation as much as it's just going to be upon learning how to live in the care and comfort of the one who's spoken about in these passages. No, it just kind of, it seems like it could even push people like me to a realization that what I'm expecting may not necessarily be what is going to happen.
Yeah. Now, I think that's what I love about Advent in general, is it gives us a chance to, I mean, it really does paint this picture of what the fulfillment of time, what the real hope is, the Christian hope of the future. Because we look back, it's interesting, because we look back and we hear all these Old Testament, you know, passages calling for, you know, Messiah, that then we, you know, in our time, just like you said, automatically just think of Jesus that came in ancient Palestine. But he's also speaking of something that's in the future for us. Is it the same way as it was for them, that there's a hope and there's a peace that is going to come, and it will be the end of violence and war and oppression. And that's something that I could, that could really preach and could really help people grasp that, what you know, as I've said before, like the end is near sounds very hopeless unless you're thinking of the end of all the bad stuff is near, you know, then it's hopeful.
Right. Right.
And I think that's what this passage, like we, you know, looking at what the future has for us using these passages, we can find hope in them beyond just the hope of the, you know, the first Christmas, but the hope that we have in the future too of peace.
Well, and like, and how good is that for, I mean, so psychologists and cultural theorists and the like, they've all talked about how, you know, how there are people who are being oppressed and then there are people who are oppressing those around them, but how even those who are in power and typically are, I guess, defined as the oppressors, they have things psychologically, emotionally, spiritually that are oppressing them. And like, what would it look like if all of us were freed from maybe not just our physical oppressors of like other people, but also freed from, you know, the traumas or the issues that oppress us emotionally and psychologically and perhaps even cause us to be perpetrators of death rather than perpetrators of life. Well, I mean, that really is something to actually look forward to and to proclaim and maybe even to practice here and now.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I thought I lost you guys again. Like, man, I'm just gonna have to say that all over again.
Just basking in the wisdom, buddy.
Well, at this point, I'm ready for Christmas.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Bring it on.
It's good stuff.
Well, thanks everyone for being with us today, here for Advent 4 on Ketchy Lechti. You can find us at ketchylechti.com or at facebook.com/ketchylechti. My name is Jen. You can find me, my church on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NexusDallas, NEXUS. And, Jonathan Patrick, tell us where we can find you.
You can find me at I Am Spraying and also my church at catrow.org on all the social media stuff.
And you can find me at Padraic Glenn, PadraicGlenn, or at my church website at faithcommunitynaz.church.
Thanks again for joining us, and until next time, grace and peace.
For many of us, when we talk about the eschaton, which, you know, is a theological word to talk about either the end times.
Oh no, we've lost him again.
He'll jump back in a second, I guess, huh? Patrick. He's right in the middle of something good, too.
I know.
He's probably still talking.
Probably.
This is going to have to go in the out credits.
Yeah.
Post credits.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, there you are.
Sweet. Man, I was on such a good roll.
We thought you were, yeah.
Try to pick it back up.
Where did I leave off of?
Eschaton. I heard Eschaton.
Yeah, Eschaton.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, like, so when we talk about eschaton.